Bye-bye.
You're listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional engineer, professional futurist, and sometimes occasional sessional instructor of future studies at Simon Fraser University. And this is a weekly show that looks at future trends and issues and important items that affect your daily life and will be affecting your life into the future. Welcome to the show. We're continuing our look at the book, The Purpose Effect, Building Meaning in Yourself, Your Role, and Your Organization by Dan Pontefract, who's also the best-selling author of Flat Army, with a foreword by Nicolofer Merchant. Last show, we were looking at the chapter, The Purpose of Purpose. Subsection, Members of the Team. This is not a story of us versus them, of employees versus leaders, of Paul pitted against his former company. The purpose effect is not the unilateral responsibility of leaders, nor should employees be solely accountable themselves. In fact, whether you lead people or not, employees at any level in the organization are both leaders and followers. Whatever the scenario, all employees are in fact leaders fulfilling personal, role-based, and organizational objectives. While each of us has crafted our own personal values, interests, dislikes, priorities, and objectives in our life, we all have tasks that are part of our role at work, things we have to get done. In our roles, we each serve the interests and requirements of the organization. Thus, we are leading our lives and performing our roles in concert with the organization that employs us. Paul Blyer contributed to the purpose of TELUS and created a purposeful mindset in his role at work, fulfilling part of his personal sense of purpose. The same can be said for Bas van Abel of Fairphone. Both of these gentlemen and their organizations are operating in the sweet spot. As followers, employees who join the firm become part of and influence an existing system of organizational processes, decisions, and personalities. We all have a boss of some sort. My trip to San Francisco and the accompanying expense report have to be approved by someone. The CEO reports into the board, who in turn processes the responsibility to hire, to fire the same organization's most senior leaders. A politician is often elected by constituents whom she ultimately serves. A call center agent leads her customers to answers and solves many problems while reporting to a team manager. So too we must follow rules and processes inside and outside our places of work. There are rules to follow in order to earn a driver's license, just as there are rules to drive the car itself. For the purpose effect to be enacted, all people at whatever level of the organizational chart must accept they are both followers and leaders at work and in life. For the remainder of the book, I will refer to such people using the term team member rather than employee, which I find somewhat derogatory and, in fact, even dehumanizing. Employee is suggestive of a head to be counted, another asset to be logged on a spreadsheet. The notion of a team member is something I have learned while working at TELUS. The chief executive officer of the company, Darren Erstwhistle, does not refer to himself as CEO, but instead as a member of the TELUS team. Like me, Darren is a team member. It is the same for everyone. We are all part of the team, be it private, not for profit or public sector, whether full-time or part-time. I believe everyone has the right to feel as though they're an important part of the team. I believe the term is far more inclusive and more engaging. Such a term unites us. Team member also removes the impersonality and subjugation implied by the word employee. Perhaps most importantly, team member recognizes the potential we all carry within us to both lead and follow, looking past the formality of hierarchical structures and job titles. As team members, we should begin to think of ourselves as both leader and follower. So too, we ought to both be a dreamer and a doer. We must dream about the idea or an outcome, but we must also make it happen. Therefore, all of us are leaders and followers, dreamers and doers. Omnificent, on purpose, we are all team members. A question then, for all team members, to ponder is whether any of us should continue waiting for purpose to magically happen. We might dream of a higher calling or purpose, but we must possess the courage to achieve this as well. The purpose effect requires bilateral action. It requires a new way of thinking about the relationship between an individual and an organization's definition of purpose. The resulting manner in which team members perform their roles is understood in the context of this relationship. It also requires, however, a definite course of action to ensure a sweet spot is achieved. We should become what Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard referred to as continual fluid process. Quote, an existing individual is constantly in the process of becoming. The actual existing subjective thinker constantly reproduces the existential situation in his thoughts and translates all his thinkings in terms of process, unquote. But too often we remain static, forever solely the dreamer or the follower. It remains a what might have been mindset, whether as individuals or for the individual as a whole. As psychotherapist Carl Rogers put it, quote, to some it appears to be what one is to remain static. They see such a purpose or value as synonymous with being fixed or unchanging, unquote. But Rogers, like Kierkegaard, believed humans ought to be both leader and the follower, the dreamer and the doer. Quote, to be what one is, he wrote, is to enter fully into being a process. Change is facilitated, probably maximized, when one is willing to be what one truly is. It is only as he can become more of himself, can be more of what he has denied himself, that there is any prospect for change, unquote. Therefore, for purpose to manifest in ourselves, our organizations, and our roles, we must heed Kierkegaard's advice, which is, quote, to be that self which one truly is, unquote. This book encourages individuals to become a fluid process of insight and action in the quest to create the sweet spot. The purpose effect is possible. but it requires a different way of thinking and acting, especially in the three areas that make up the purpose effect: personal, organizational, and role. Personal purpose. An individual who seeks a personal sense of purpose in life will be one who is constantly developing, defining, and deciding their values, priorities, and attributes, and general ways of conducting themselves in their activities. It is a perpetual cycle of self-discovery. For personal purpose to be identified, to reach their why, the questions of what, who, and how ought to be continuously asked by the individual. For someone to reach their personal purpose, they first must ask themselves how they plan to develop, define, and decide the purpose in their lives. Consider these questions for each of these. Develop. What is the individual doing to grow and establish their personal values, priorities, and attributes? Define. Who is the individual trying to become in life? Decide. How will the individual operate when balancing the realities of life with the opportunities for growth? As these questions are repeatedly explored and answered throughout one's life, clarity of self comes into focus. If the answers can align with an individual's role at work and in parallel with the organization where they're employed, the individual is potentially on a path toward their own sweet spot of the purpose effect. Organizational purpose. Roger L. Martin is the academic director of the Martin Prosperity Institute and the former dean of the Rotman School of Management at the University of Toronto. In his book, Fixing the Game, he outlines a series of issues preventing the organization from truly benefiting society. Roger argues that organizations should be placing, quote, customers at the center of the firm and focusing on delighting them. I am extending Roger's argument to introduce a model that organizations should follow to achieve such a state called the good deeds. I argue that the purpose of an organization ought to be to provide service to benefit all intended stakeholders. With a workforce that has discovered a sense of purpose in life, complemented by purpose in their role at work, the sweet spot for the organization can be achieved if the good deeds concept is implemented. The good deeds idea can be defined as follows. First of all, delight your customers. An organization ought to commit to working with and for the customer, continuously dedicated to delighting them while improving value, always remembering why an organization exists in the first place. Secondly, engage your team members. To improve value and service with customers, team members must feel as though there is purpose in their work, that they're engaged and flourishing in their role as part of the team, while possessing the opportunity to imagine, incubate, initiate, innovate, interact, and influence. Thirdly, be ethical within a society. Ethics is an organization's integrity. It is the bridge of trust between customer and team member. How is the firm taking responsibility for publicly setting targets, looking out for the interests of all stakeholders in society, be it through financially, environmentally, socially, and educationally improved means? Fourthly, deliver fair practices. An organization's results are reflected by significantly improved people practices. If team members are able to work in an environment devoid of the existing and systematic operational inanities that are prevalent in today's organizations, it will deliver both fairer and markedly improved business results in the new purpose, first organization mindset. Fifthly, serve all stakeholders. Recognizing that no organization is an island unto itself, the firm or group will deliver its results to all relevant stakeholders, realizing its responsibility as an integral partner in society's ecosystem that affects customers, team members, the community, and owners alike. Role purpose. Roles are created by the organization to achieve its mission and goals. Roles make up the whole of the organization. If there were no roles, there is no organization. From the perspective of the team member, roles can be of varying tenures as well. Some individuals remain in a position for life, whether fulfilled or disengaged, whereas others are interested in very short stints or short-term contracts. Roles come and go due to factors such as contrarian, expansion, or the introduction of new technologies like automation or artificial intelligence. Regardless of when an individual is performing their role at work for the organization and themselves, one of three different mindsets will likely be exhibited. The first one is job mindset. Performing transactional duties in return for compensation and not much else. Career mindset. Focusing on increasing one's career girth by advancing salary, title, power, team size, and or span of control. Thirdly, purpose mindset. Passionate, innovative, committed to a meaningful and engaging workplace that serves and benefits all stakeholders. An individual's role-based mindset, therefore, is the result of whether their personal purpose is in alignment with the organizational's purpose, as well as the duties required to perform in the specific role itself. Often a job or career mindset is a result of misalignment between personal, organizational, and role purpose. For the sweet spot to be attained, I contend individuals ought to operate with a purpose mindset in their role for a majority of the time. There are moments, however, when the job or career mindset might crop up as part of a role. It is to be expected. No one will ever demonstrate purpose in their role 100% of the time. There will always be parts of a role or actions one must take that are disliked. However, if the majority of time is spent on either the job or the career mindset, chances for the purpose effect to materialize and the sweet spot to manifest become unlikely. Once an individual is able to spend the bulk of their time in the role occupying a purpose mindset, the sweet spot has a greater chance of being generated for all stakeholders. Throughout this book, I will examine each of the three categories of purpose, concluding with examples and scenarios with each of the points that are working together in harmony.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you're listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery. We're now going to take a short break and listen to a very important public service announcement.
Every year, countless people succumb to the temptation to purchase exotic animals like hedgehogs, lizards, monkeys, even tigers and bears to keep as pets. But life in captivity is often a death sentence for these animals, who may suffer from malnutrition, an improper environment, and the stress of confinement. For more information on this issue, visit the BCSPCA website at www.spca.bc.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenari, professional futurist.
Welcome back. We're looking at the book, The Purpose Effect, Building Meaning in Yourself, Your Role, and Your Organization by Dan Pontefract, who's the best-selling author of the book Flat Army. We're looking, continue to look at the chapter, The Purpose of Purpose. Next section, Flat Army Meets the Purpose Effect. In 2013, I published a book titled Flat Army, Creating a Connected and Engaged Organization. The manuscript centered on the concept of closed leadership and organizational disengagement. In fact, the book posited that far too many individuals in an organization are dissatisfied in their roles at work due to a general lack of open and collaborative leadership. This state of team member disenfranchisement is partially caused by leaders who are both controlling and commanding. Backed by research and firsthand experience, the book did offer some hope. I hypothesized an antidote based on methods and tools that I previously deployed and witnessed at organizations where I have worked, in addition to research and interviews I previously conducted. The solution that surfaced to contest such deterioration of situation with respect to workplace culture was represented by five interlocking models of team member engagement. The first one is connected leader attributes. The second is collaborative leader action models. Thirdly, participative leader frameworks. Fourth, pervasive learning. And fifth, collaboration technologies. If the culture of an organization is open, connected, collaborative, participative, and demonstrates general reciprocity, more often than not, I have found that it will become an engaged organization. When the culture of an organization is harmonious, when team members feel as though their opinion and contributions matter, a casual relationship between increased team member commitment and bottom line improvements become a likely outcome. Flat Army was an organizational cultural change book. For organizations to create value with their customers, and so the firm might become innovative and prosperous in the long term, it should possess an engaged workforce. This point, I would suggest, is rather irrefutable based on the mounds of evidence surfaced by consulting firms such as Gallup and Aon Hewitt. An engaged organization ultimately leads to multiple business benefits. We will continue to investigate this thesis further in the book. But for an organization to fully delight its customers, to create an environment where team members feel there is a purpose to their role that both benefits society and solidifies their own personal purpose, I would like to argue that there is a link between purpose and culture. The concept of purpose is the basis of this book. How can one's personal sense of purpose connect with their workforce role and with that of the organization's overarching purpose? The book Flat Army was based on organizational culture. In it, I argued that the narrowing of the gap between team members and leadership resulted in a more collaborative operating environment. Improved levels of engagement and connection help the organization achieve its goals and objectives, ultimately improving various results and metrics. If the purpose of the organization and its team members is aligned and the organization is operating in an open, collaborative, and harmonious culture, it delivers the 1-2 punch of societal and organizational benefits. The purpose effect is therefore a companion to my first book, Flat Army. It connects the dots between purpose and culture and solidifies the outcomes of an engaged organization, improving personal and organizational results. And I found purpose to be a close partner of culture. You do not have to read Flat Army first or at all, but I want the leader to recognize the link I have surfaced between these two facets, purpose and culture. But what exactly is purpose? What is purpose? In his posthumous 2004 book, Pathway to Bliss, Joseph Campbell provides us with an appropriate introduction to the concept of purpose. I found Campbell to have been a brilliant philosopher and writer. He was a world that embodied altruism and giving. Campbell was arguably someone who knew how to demonstrate purpose and meaning in what was obviously his true calling, writing. What I think is that a good life is one hero journey after another. Over and over again, you are called to the realm of adventure. You are called to new horizons. Each time, there is the same problem. Do I dare? And then, if you do dare, the dangers are there, and the help also, and the fulfillment or the fiasco. There's always the possibility of a fiasco, but there's also the possibility of bliss. Purpose. It is a word that offers the possibility of bliss. While purpose in the workplace is imperative, leaders are potentially overlooking its significance to the overarching health of our entire civilization. My experience and research suggests purpose ought to be the objective, but it is the misalignment of the personal, role, and organizational categories of purpose that ensures that the journey towards purpose never begins. Which begs a few questions. What is the true purpose of an organization? Secondly, is a for-profit or private organization merely a vehicle for economic rents, profit hoarding, unethical levels of greed, and a fixation on increasing the share price? Thirdly, is the private organization's primary responsibility a fiduciary obligation to maximize shareholder value or profit margins? Have well-rewarded leaders of organizations rejected the interests of all other stakeholders and the common good to selfishly fill their own bank accounts and satisfy their hedonic impulses? There are additional questions which may relate specifically to a public sector or a not-for-profit organization as well as to a private firm. For example, is the purpose of an organization and its leaders to uphold power and potential rank? Is one of the goals for leaders to command or control team members? Is the organization's structure burdened by rigid operational systems created by cabinet shuffles, organizational changes, stonewalling tactics, or an abdication of leadership responsibility? In future shows, we're going to look at answers to each of these questions. And so I invite you to follow the advent of this book in future shows. I think you'll find it very interesting.
You have been listening to Future Talk on CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And Future Talk is a weekly show on important issues that affect you and your future. And this is Dr. Teneri, professional futurist, reminding you that if you're not willing to make the effort to invent your own future, then others will be only too happy to invent it for you. See you next week.